It's a religious pilgrimage typically drawing millions of Muslims, but this year's Hajj will be different.
So there's a huge focus on sanitation, on social distancing. Face masks are to be worn at all times.
We'll look at the changes as Saudi Arabia fights the coronavirus. Plus, we've heard the earnings from banks. Now some of the most famous brands will report on their pandemic performance.
Corporate results out today will give us a fresh take on how the pandemic is affecting the real economy. Among other things, what it means for the burger business and for coffee chains.
And the Fed meets once again with a somewhat darker outlook on the pandemic. It's Tuesday, July the 28th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Malaysia's former Prime Minister Najib Razak has been found guilty on a number of charges in connection with the multi-billion dollar 1MDB investment fund. Our Southeast Asia bureau chief, Niharika Mantana, explains the verdict.
The allegations he faces range from a criminal breach of trust and money laundering to corruption and other charges in relation to this fund that he set up. And so today was the day of the verdict in one of those trials, and the court found that he was guilty of all seven charges against him, and that those include money laundering, criminal breach of trust, and others.
Today's verdict is the first in that string of cases against Najib. He has pleaded not guilty and denied wrongdoing. Last week, Goldman Sachs settled with the Malaysian government for $3.9 billion for its involvement with 1MDB. Goldman has said it was misled by bankers who worked on the deals. Vietnam is evacuating 80,000 people after several people in Da Nang tested positive for the coronavirus. Strict quarantines and widespread testing have helped keep COVID-19 deaths in Vietnam to zero. Meantime, some states here in the U.S. are reversing reopenings as cases grow. The Wall Street Journal's Ted Mann reports on how different states are taking very different approaches as to how they interpret guidance and use data.
We're seeing a replay of what states did when they opened, and that was in many cases kind of follow the CDC guidelines such as they were and kind of go it alone. On the criteria that the CDC has laid out and the White House has endorsed, many, many states are nowhere near what it was suggested they should reach in order to reopen. So some of those states we are finding are looking at all of those data points and deciding that in some localities or perhaps statewide, it may soon be time to close back up or at least to begin to restrict some of what had been reopened.
The Fed begins its two-day policy meeting today. It comes as the central bank is warning that the economic downturn could deepen if the U.S. doesn't take tighter control of the pandemic. Our chief economics correspondent, Nick Timmeros, explains how consumer confidence plays into the Fed's thinking.
Millions of people employed in industries that are going to require people to feel confident spending money indoors and gathering in large groups those consumers are just not going to reengage in the numbers that we would need to see for there to be a sustained, continued economic recovery.
Attorney General William Barr testifies before Congress today. He'll face questions on deployment of federal agents to racial justice demonstrations and cases involving President Trump's allies. Just ahead, from Starbucks to McDonald's, some of the most well-known brands in the world report quarterly results today. We'll explain what their earnings tell us about where the larger economy stands. Recently, there's been a heavy focus on tech and bank stocks. Today, some of the most well-known consumer brands released their quarterly results. Our markets editor, Quinton Webb, breaks down what their numbers can tell us about how the economy is doing during COVID-19.
Well, two giants of the restaurant world are reporting on Tuesday, McDonald's and Starbucks. And they bear watching because, of course, in some ways, they are more on the front lines of the pandemic than, you know, let's say some of these big tech stocks, Google, Amazon, Netflix, etc., who seem to thrive even in an era of pandemic. Instead, if you think about both Starbucks and McDonald's, they've actually had to kind of require that customers wear masks when they enter the store. So that is one example of how they are kind of adapting to this new reality. second quarter has, of course, been very difficult for the restaurant industry, full stop. But it'll be interesting to see what these companies and others say about the prospects ahead, you know, as we navigate this bumpy process of economic reopening.
Just ahead, the pilgrimage that normally brings millions to Mecca is now under strict limits. A closer look at the Hajj in the time of the coronavirus when we come back. This week marks the beginning of the Hajj. The pilgrimage usually brings millions from around the world to Saudi Arabia and in close quarters. This year, it will be drastically smaller. Joining us from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, is The Wall Street Journal's Dana Abdul Aziz. Dana, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Dana, it seems as if there's this balance between safety and spirituality. Usually, 2 million people make the pilgrimage, but this year, on Wednesday when it starts, it will be significantly smaller.
Yes, indeed, Mark. So the government announced that they are scaling the Hajj back to no more than 10,000 pilgrims, and that all the pilgrims will be local. So these are people that are already present in Saudi Arabia, whether citizens or residents. And this is because Saudi Arabia has imposed some pretty strict measures to combat the effects of the coronavirus pandemic, including stopping international flights to and from Saudi. So just in keeping with that, they're not receiving anyone from abroad. Whereas you probably know, these 2 million pilgrims come from all over the world usually.
And Dana, even with a much smaller crowd, there will still be many new safety rules. Explain what the government is putting in place.
Yeah, so the Ministry of Hajj has said that they're redesigning the pilgrim's experience and the pilgrim's journey, you know, to focus on the health, you know, precautions and measures that are being put in place to combat the coronavirus, definitely. So there's a huge focus on sanitation, on social distancing. Face masks are to be worn at all times. Social distancing between each pilgrim is minimum of 4 meters. They are dividing this group of pilgrims, which we're saying is estimated to be around 10,000 pilgrims. So they're dividing them into groups of 20. So each 20 pilgrims have their own bus, their own guide, their own health worker on site with them at all times. These pilgrims are subject to quarantining. So they've been asked to quarantine for 7 days prior to arriving to Mecca. So they've been given welcome packs where they are in Mecca, which include face masks, sanitation materials such as hand sanitizers and soaps and all that. And even the government's using mobile apps and bracelets and smart cards just to track the journey and to ensure this enforcement of social distancing at all times and minimal contact between people.
And finally, there is a business side to this too. Billions of dollars come into the kingdom during the Hajj. There are tours, yet this is a big loss at a time when the economy is rocky.
Yes. So Saudi's economy has been hit already during this pandemic by depressed oil prices and coronavirus-related restrictions. So Saudi Arabia has been, in the past few years, been trying to diversify its economy away from oil by focusing on developing tourism sectors, entertainment sectors, as part of this 2030 plan spearheaded by the young Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And so, you know, what's happening with the Hajj and Umrah season is also another hit, because the Hajj and Umrah season is actually a very big economic driver for the western region of Saudi Arabia, which includes Mecca, Medina, Jeddah. So when you have all these pilgrims that come in during Hajj, this stimulates a lot of economic activity, and you have sectors such as like housing and hospitality, you know, hotels and such that are greatly dependent, you know, primarily dependent on the Hajj season. So in addition to the housing and hospitality sectors, you have businesses that are fully reliant on the Hajj season. And they've been obviously very, very hard hit this year. They're making basically zero profit. They're okay. Some of them, you know, it's going to be shaky, you know, to handle all the costs. The government's been providing some aid for these businesses. So they're relying heavily on that. But as you can imagine, it's not easy. And they have been definitely hard hit.
The Wall Street Journal's Dana Abdulaziz joining us from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Dana, great to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with an update. If you like the show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more on these stories on WSJ.com and our app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.